Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man whose intelligence we are privileged to be able to tap each week on matters involving American security and interests in Asia is with us, I'm pleased to say. He is Gordon Chang. He is, of course, a columnist for the Daily Beast, a frequent contributor to Fox News, a regular on this program, I'm pleased to say, and the author of two terrific books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Gordon, welcome. It's so good to have you, especially when there's so much going on in your part of the portfolio that we're interested in talking about.
Well, thank you so much, Frank.
So I wanted to figure out, if we could, Gordon, what should be made of, well, I guess I could only call it a sort of spectacle in Korea. The games are underway, the Olympic Games, of course. We had the North and South Korean combined Olympic teams parading around. The Vice President of the United States was there, and he took, I think properly, a rather dim view of all of this, but it was kind of lost in all of the palaver about what a breakthrough this is. Is it a breakthrough, or is this really problematic?
Well, you know, certainly North Korea's invitation to President Moon Jae-in of South Korea to visit Pyongyang is not a good development. In the past, there have been two inter-Korean summits, both of them in the North Korean capital, and there have been large payments from South Korea to North Korea to facilitate those meetings. And the question is, what will the South Koreans, if anything, give to the North Koreans if there's going to be a third inter-Korean summit? Moon Jae-in is from a generation that is Korean nationalist. They see one Korean state, and so therefore they view North Korea in very different terms than we do, and in very different terms than other South Koreans do. In South Korea right now, the important thing, and this is important for the U.S., and that is people there see their society as separate and apart from North Korea. So they are South Korean nationalists. And so Moon is losing a good part of his base by trying to have this reconciliation with the North. And then in addition to the South Korean nationalists, you have the conservatives, generally older South Koreans who remember the Korean War, very pro-American. And what is important for Vice President Pence is that we're in a struggle for hearts and minds in South Korea. And I understand the impulse of the vice president not to stand when the unified Korean team entered the stadium. But what he did, though, in the view of many South Koreans, is insult them. And that's not going to be very helpful because we're going to need their help in hemming in their very pro-North Korean president, Moon Jae-in. This is a struggle, hearts and minds. We need to win it. Vice President Pence, by sitting down, didn't help.
Yeah, it was kind of a lose-lose situation, though. I think there's very little doubt that had he stood and applauded with others, that it would have probably helped the wrong team as well. Gordon, let me ask you, he has had conversations apparently with President Moon, Vice President Pence, that is, while he was over there, in which they apparently agreed to some understandings about how this rapprochement with the North Koreans was going to be pursued. What do we know about that? And how much do you think is probably unknown at this point, or certainly not being discussed, that might be of concern?
Vice President Pence, according to Josh Rogan in a Washington Post report today, apparently had substantive conversations with Moon Jae-in. We're concerned, as we mentioned, about Moon providing assistance and support to North Korea. Apparently, Moon agreed not to do that. He agreed to support American efforts to increase sanctions. And Vice President Pence said that the Trump administration agreed to talk to the North Koreans without preconditions. This is a change in American policy, which has insisted that the North Koreans acknowledge their prior agreements to give up their nuclear weapons. So this was an attempt on the part of the vice president to prevent a break with South Korea. The North Koreans, by this Olympic initiative, wanted to drive a wedge between the alliance, between South Korea and the United States. Vice President Pence's agreement, if it's accurate, and it does seem to be so, very much would prevent that from happening. But it does it at a cost to the American position on denuclearization.
And, you know, Gordon, I'm thinking as we talk about this of the susceptibility of particularly people in the press, but evidently some at least on the ground in South Korea as well, to these sorts of charm offensives by the North Korean regime. In this case, I guess, in the person of the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un's sister, who was present in South Korea for the Olympic Games. It contrasts so sharply with the image that we had that the president of the United States used, I think, to great effect in his State of the Union address of a North Korean defector, you know, holding up the crutches that were sort of symbols of his persecution and hardship in North Korea, and that of countless others. Gordon Chang, as you look at this, are we really risking mistaking what is going on at the moment for any real substantive change in the position, or for that matter, the threat posed by North Korea, not just to the South Koreans, for heaven's sakes, or Japan, but also to us? And I just, in that connection, if I could just mention, one of the things that was on display in a military parade, as you know, in Pyongyang on the eve of these Olympic Games and all of this falderal, were a number of missiles, ballistic missiles, on what appeared to be Chinese or Chinese knockoff transporter erector launchers. Talk about all that, if you would, Gordon.
Yeah. One of the things that Vice President Pence on Friday did, which was extremely good, was he highlighted, first of all, North Korean aggression, because he went to the Chonan Memorial, which honors the 46 South Korean sailors who were killed by a North Korean torpedo in March 2010. And then he met with defectors. And that was an important story to the North Koreans, to the South Koreans, about the human rights situation in the North. That was very effective public diplomacy on the part of the vice president, because he was reminding the South Koreans that, yeah, there is a charm offensive, but don't be fooled. You know, with regard to the Chinese transporter erector launchers, you know, Beijing admitted that they sold the chassis for these. And the New York Times reported that the Chinese told us that the North Koreans told them that they only wanted them for logging, which makes no sense on any level, especially because these chassis are wider than the roads leading to North Korea's logging areas. But privately, U.S. intelligence sources say that we actually talked to the Chinese before the sale, not after, as the New York Times reported. And the Chinese went ahead and sold these chassis anyway. And the Chinese probably also sold the missile interface, in other words, the entire vehicle. We have yet to impose costs on China for doing so. This makes these North Korean missiles very dangerous to us. And this is, again, a failure of the Obama administration, and indeed now of the Trump administration, to make sure Beijing doesn't do this. So we've had another reminder at this big military parade that the North Koreans and the Chinese are working together.
Yeah. And let's be clear, for the purposes of the audience's understanding of the important point you just made, Gordon Chang, when you say that these transporter erector launchers make these missiles more dangerous to us, among others, this assumes that they will in due course be fitted with even longer range missiles than those on parade. But the point is that by virtue of their mobility, they are giving the North Koreans an opportunity to have essentially an undetectable first launch capacity against us, something that is exceedingly problematic as we seek to try to contain this, or better yet, undo this threat from North Korea enabled by communist China. Gordon, we have to leave it at that for the moment today. Thank you very much for this update on the charm offensive and how truly uncharming the North Koreans are. We'll look forward to picking up with you again next week. In the meantime, thank you, my friend, for joining us. Keep up the great work at the Daily Beast and Fox and elsewhere. Join us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk with Major Fred Galvin, United States Marines Corps retired, on the fate of the MARSOC 7 and what we can do to help them right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.